Welcome to Brota GP. This is episode number 87. Kev said he loves my tempo when I get talking like this, and we're going to keep it going for as long as possible. Oh, on this episode, we are talking about the Qatar MotoGP round. It was an amazing race. I'm hoping that we're going to talk a lot about it, but Kev seems to have other ideas, and I think Ev is going to back him up too. We got Zarco to talk about. Mark Marquez got booed. Dovi's on the ticket, of course. Rossi versus Mav. There's a whole bunch of shit. We might even talk about Dylan's replacement. Who knows? But all right, let's get this one going.
What up, shitheads? Rob just gave you the PG intro, but no, because I'm Kev, and we about to get the R-rated intro. Because all that stuff aside, let's not act like we had the worst pit lane recorder of all time. That Jorge is about as useful a Ducati as Anne Frank's drum set, and this was an insane race that had so much going on for it. I'm jacked out of my fucking mind for this race. That being said, I'm Kevin. That's Rob. My man Ev is directly below me. Say what's up, Ev.
What up? I like what motorcycles.
Up? He likes motorcycle racing. I like exactly. And we're motherfucking Brota GP. No George. George is not here. He's a little mad at me because he got kept indoors all day because it's raining and he's throwing a shit fit in the other room. So you're just going to have to deal with me and Rob and Ev and the whole Brota crew. That being said...
Wait, hold on. One thing about George. Did he find you another mouse in the house?
No, only the one mouse in the house. He got kept in. He got the mouse, and then he got to go outside for a while, and I think he needs to find something else going on quick. So.
Wait. One other thing about George. Is it possible that he's, like, really Lorenzo's spirit animal?
Yeah, he complains to me about as much as George does, that's for sure.
I watched that kids movie, Coco, and they all had spirit animals, and I'm thinking about that, and it's like, he needs to just carry him around with him.
Yeah, exactly. George is definitely my spirit animal. He's a fan, no doubt.
Well, I feel like it was love at first sight. I feel like if Dennis was here, he could talk to you about kids' movies, Coco. But not so much with these
but
two.
But we're
right
not going to talk about kids' movies, because what we're actually going to talk about is... I'm not saying Simon Crafer is the worst pit lane reporter of all time, but Simon better hope that guy doesn't die. Because holy crap. Literally the shit that spewed from this guy's mouth had me thinking that God wasted a perfectly good asshole by sticking teeth in his mouth. What the fuck was going on? This was like, the amount of messages I got was like, there's a straight tard on the fucking screen. What is happening? Like, Dylan was the man. I'm not even exactly sure why he left. Rob can probably hit me with that. He was so fucking good at his job. He bounced. Maybe he just wanted the greener pastures because there's no way they got rid of him for the quality that he was doing. And they replaced him with this grand idea of a guy who used to race like 40 fucking years ago in New Zealand. And he's going to have all this insight. Like, that means anything. Like, yeah, it's pretty cool if you know stuff about racing. But if you can't improvise and actually say it quickly, it's unreal. Y'all saw when Dovi, he rolls up to Dovi and Park Ferme and just says a statement. And then he's holding the microphone. And Dovi's like, is this fucking bitch going to ask me a question? What the fuck is going on? It was like, I can't even believe what was happening. Like, I got messages in preseason that this guy was really, really bad. I was training a lot for some tournaments that were big. I didn't watch a lot of the preseason stuff live, so I didn't actually know what was happening. It was so bad. Dude apologized literally for himself on his Facebook, but then drops the whole, like, bro, I used to race and stuff like that. Fucking eat a dick. That was the worst thing I'd ever fucking heard. It was like... I actually feel bad. Like, the dude, like, that guy sounded straight up illiterate. Like, someone handed him a fucking list of questions, and he looked at it, and he was like, fucking no does compute. Like, what the hell was he talking about?
But that's the thing. So you brought up the winter testing. He wasn't really that bad in the winter test. He was bad. He wasn't Dylan good. He was on par with Dylan's first year in GP. But he wasn't bad, bad. He wasn't Simon Crafar bad.
And wait, do commentators get to just be like, hey, it's practice, man. We talking practice. Can they do that too, or is that not allowed?
That's exactly what happened.
I think you got to practice, though. You're
right. He did.
No, but
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Winter testing, he did okay. Then he gets to the race, and he just chokes. And it's like,
dude. Think about this, though.
Performance this anxiety.
This was the greatest choke of all time. This choke beat anything Iannone does on a random Tuesday night with fucking random dicks. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy, we had a race that had Mark Marquez and Doby fight to the last corner again. We had the motherfucking Johan Zarco, don't mess with the Zarco, get pole and lead in races left and right. We had Maverick charging from like 73rd on the grid, all of a sudden remember that he's fast. Valentino gets 198 podiums. It's unfucking real. And all anyone wants to talk about, 200 messages I get, literally me personally, is, bro, you gotta fucking handle this guy.
But
you
be honest, the whole thing, I watched
bro,
it at like 9 a.m.
Bro, I said he was as useful as Anne Frank's drum set. It doesn't get any more honest than that.
But that's what's crazy. I mean, I was watching, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, who is this guy? I didn't even know he was doing it. And I'm like, this is terrible. And my wife always.
I'd say the guy sounded like a fucking cunt, but he lacked both the warmth or the depth in anything he was fucking saying.
Oh boy!
I knew it was going to be bad. I turned the Moto 2 race on first.
Title Rob Sexton. I knew it was going to be bad.
Yeah.
Damn it! Starting it off. No, I knew it was going to be bad because when I turned the Moto 2 race on, he was given the tire sheet from Dunlop, and he was literally going like, yeah, a bunch of riders are on the hard rear tire. It's like Pecco, Benya, like delay. Just no, he was reading, he was going down the sheet just very slowly, reading it and identifying which one had the other tire. And it took 5 minutes. It was terrible.
You know when you saw Thor Ragnarok and the fucking giant rock guy with the Kiwi accent, like it was funny because he sounded like a big dumb Kiwi. Ha ha ha, that's funny. This guy was that guy. Bro, you can't be a living stereotype. It's supposed to be a joke.
It's not supposed to be real.
Oh, man.
Damn, that shirt is fire. Everett, where'd you get that shirt?
Fuck. Yeah, that's what I was trying to lean back and flex a little.
There's one good thing, or there's only one upside to Simon Crafar, is the only way to go is up. He can't get any worse.
Yes,
he gets fired.
Yes, he can.
There's no way he can get worse. There's no way.
Yes, he can. He can start talking about cricket.
Yeah, exactly. We know that'll fucking – you can be 25 years deep, and that'll get you fired. You know, so he starts talking about cricket.
I mean, he's gonna get fired for that
is,
one.
Like, I randomly made a stupid, like, little video where it was that kid that's just like, have you ever had a dream where, like, you know, you know, and it's like that, and you know, and you know, and
man,
you ever had
– I've seen it before, but it was perfect.
That took over our Facebook so much that nothing else I posted got any traction because that was what was in everyone's feed.
That's like, terrible, though. Great weekend of racing. Great race.
Anyone wants to talk about is how shitty a marquee dude on their screen is.
But the problem is, who are they going to get? Even if they sacked him and they got some other idiot.
Rob could do the job better. Rob could do it pretty good.
He probably could do it better. There's no doubt that.
Kev got a message saying that Kev should get the job, and I texted back and said, I want the job. I know more about tires than anyone.
Right. Here's the thing. It's like anything. It doesn't matter how much you know if you can't express it. And the job literally requires you to be
artist
able to
Kev.
Succinctly succinctly explain something on the spot with no prep. Live on television. Being a racer doesn't mean you have that skill. It might mean that you can improvise with your body in a high stress environment super fast. In fact, that's exactly what it means.
That's most of my work sales meetings, by the way, but you know.
You gotta fucking sling some bull.
Go.
You gotta sling
30 second right. Elevator pitch. Go. Yeah.
Wait, right, can there be a title of Rob Sextape in that one? I heard
what sling some bull?
No, the one before that. Do some shit with your body hella fast.
Improvise. Yeah, exactly. Improvise. You got to be able to at least explain what you're saying. If the dude could write it down, and if he did his own little interview, like, look, when I did that podcast by myself, I stuck my phone on the fucking couch and talked into it for an hour with no stress, right? But sometimes I got to fucking sling some bullshit right in front of fucking Rob or right in front of Everett. You got to be able to talk quick and not stutter too much. It's not that big of a deal. And like,
it's always bad when I'm watching the race. Christina has this thing where I'm watching racing at night or whatever, and she just sits on the couch and reads a book or whatever. And I say something that just happened. I'm like, oh my God, that just happened. And then the commentators say it like 10 seconds after. She's like, why don't you ever like get into that? I'm like, well, and that's what's scary, right? Us, we are saying and thinking the things that are obvious. I mean, they made so many bad comments about other stuff too, even the other guys, about the tires and the slippage in Moto 2. There's a bunch that I just was like, really? The average fan, they're trying to hype it up so hard too. On top
well, so let's okay. So we'll take 30 seconds here to talk about Steve Day and Matt Burt. They are an improvement over Nick Harris. We know that.
I agree,
no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. But what they're over dramatizing it. I feel like, and there's sometimes where it's like, guys, and I get it. They're doing their jobs. That's what they've been coached to do and asked to do. Right?
I think they need to speculate for sure, right? Like, if we're watching a race and they never tell us what the rider is thinking, like, even though they don't know for sure, they have no fucking clue what Marquez is thinking when he goes up the inside of someone, right? But they got to act like they know. They got to tell us that, and it makes for a good race. Like, yeah, they get some of the technical details wrong, but you got to remember, too, we're the fanatics, right? We're not the regular the fan.
Yeah, the 2%.
Right. And when Dylan, who does speak to the fanatics and the 2%, the 1%, jumped in, he jumped in real quick. You know, you'd hear the buzz come in, hear the ambient noise in the back. And he would, in and out with basic info. He even would say, guys, just real quick, blah, 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 is on the hard tire. And you know, and
he's
going to fall off with 7 laps to go. We got to look out for that. He would hit you with the hard technical knowledge real quick. He would buzz in. And he would buzz in when he was ready to fucking speak. It was like that guy. I mean, it was like a joke on Jeopardy. Like,
but he would say it in layman's terms that could be like, even though the 2% it also went to the masses and they could digest what he was saying and that and comprehend.
Yeah, I mean this Simon Crayford guy took a shit live on camera. It would have been more
in front of the race winner. That's the best.
Because I would have been at least like, whoa, is that dude shitting? What the fuck is happening? Right, like that'd have made it interesting. That'd have been like new school humor, right, out of nowhere, and you don't even know what's happening. This was so painful that it was like I honestly, man, I felt bad for my man. I really did. Fully unqualified, when you're a teacher or you're a parent and you're having your kids do stuff, like the number one thing to do, you don't know, but is don't set people up to fail, right? Like don't set someone up to fail like miserably, like put them in a position to succeed. And somewhere at Dorna, no one went, bro, this fucking guy sounds retarded.
I just had a good idea. I want Kev to do mock interviews next time and then – you know, what would Kevin ask? Because I think
right.
the level of energy in Park Fermé is terrible, too, and always has been. They just ask kind of like the
three. Right, the dude's talking ambient. They should be like, he handed fucking Marquez an ambient. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, what is happening?
That's what I'm saying. Somebody should come up with some energy and get stoked with them because they're super on, like, cloud nine.
you know he's got 2 weeks to get some serious, like, journalistic broadcasting coaching going on.
Yeah,
so I expect
you
something
can't
different.
Teach that. Oh, look, man. You can teach a lot. There's no
We've gotten way. Better. We've gotten better over 3 years. Dylan got a lot better. You brought up how he would come in like succinctly and like give you the shit. When he first started, it would be he'd give you like point number one, then he'd say, but maybe, and then he'd give you point number two, then he'd say, but maybe, he'd give you three, and but maybe four and five, and he'd keep going. And it was huge run-ons. And I actually hated that about Dylan in the beginning because, like Everett said, we have those succinct like comments and thoughts and I don't need some guy to like give me like 17 non-plausible ideas.
Here's a good point. It takes time, it takes experience, a little coaching. You've got to make sure you have that voice. You don't send a guy to the show The first fucking time, just because the guy has a good fastball, you don't start him on the Yankees in fucking middle of the stadium. Yeah. That guy should have been fucking Moto 3. He should have been covering it. Right, and then someone has the bright idea of getting him on a fucking Moto e-bike, running him around for a lap, and then undress and get back in. What the fuck? That talk about setting something to fail. You couldn't find anyone else to ride that. Like, Max Biaggi couldn't ride that thing real quick. You couldn't find a single guy to ride that. What in the fuck?
Any of the other broadcasting here domestically, you start out, it's still a farm system too, right? It's all the same thing. You start in, like, the minor leagues, you start with radio, you start, then you get to the mid, you know, semi-pros, and then you know.
Right, even my man that replaced Nick Harris, he started in Moto 3. Nick Harris wasn't running the lower classes. He was cutting his teeth. He was getting good. He was finding his voice, finding his cadence. Like, Rob has his cadence with our intro, fucking rock solid. You can't shake that shit. Like,
they got two guys too in the lower classes right now working on their shit. Yeah. They're brand new. They didn't do the races, but they were doing practice, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Well,
and that's what I mean.
Look, if you want a racer to do it, okay, I get it. I don't necessarily subscribe to this idea that we have to have someone who did the job. Like, it goes back to, like Everett knows what I'm talking about. Bill Walsh never played a fucking down of football in his life. He was the greatest coach there ever was.
Doesn't matter.
Right? It doesn't matter. You don't have to have been a racer to be able to accurately and succinctly explain what's happening technically down at pit lane. Being a racer is not required, especially not in 5 30-second sound bites over the course of 45 minutes. You need to find someone who understands the sport and can speak well. And if you want to have a racer, hold on, I'll get you a second. Yeah. If you want to have a racer who can do it, there's already one we know, Steve Martin. Steve Martin commentated World Superbike, was a former racer and race winner. He was fucking money.
He was really
straight
good.
Up. Mm-hmm. He was really good. I got nothing but love for his commentating skills and his ability to insight. Like, I remember when Chris Vermeulen was racing in 2004 and he cut inside the curb and he actually jumped the curb on a pass and no one noticed but Martin. And he was like, oh shit. Like, he literally like gasped and he had to explain to the guys. Yeah. But the way he explained it was with that racer insight that you could only have, but he was able to convey it. This guy couldn't convey shit. He couldn't convey the fact that Lorenzo Della Porta was not a rookie. He's like, I'm a rookie. And the bro's like, I'm not a rookie.
Yeah. And we'll give him a chance. It's one race, but there's a couple other examples, right? You look at the Super.
Well, we have to.
Ricky Carmichael was pretty rough when he first started doing it, too. Now he's pretty decent. The other one is over in AMA at the time. Was Scott Russell. Oh God, when he started it was so bad.
Oh.
And his accent's so thick on top of it all, it didn't help, but he was not good also. He got better. You know who's really good too, I think? And Jason Pridmore's done a pretty good job, but he, you know, for an American broadcast.
Yeah, Scott Russell had that. Well, he just sounds like a down home southern racist. I mean, that's the
there's
problem.
There's a couple of more. There's actually a bunch more in international broadcasting that we don't really get in America.
Right.
Neil Hodgson is working for British
Very
TV,
good.
I think.
Very good.
There's I saw a picture on Instagram. I think Stefan Bradl is now working for German television.
Emmett, David Emmett is covering for the fucking Dutch television.
Well, oh, really?
Hoffman
no shit.
For reals.
And Hoffman was doing the
That was the other one. Dennis Hoffman.
Yeah.
Is the
he's the dude that was there forever.
I'll
Alex
tell
Hoffman.
You right now.
Alex
if
Hoffman.
It wa- yep. If he wasn't trying to beat fucking, you know, stepdads on random Saturdays down in Texas, I'd in enduro races, I'd say get Ben Spies.
That would be so cool. He's a good commentator too, and he does cameos.
Good commentator. He knows the racers, but he raced against most of these guys, so he's not going to, like, put up with shit and no shit answers. Yeah. I know we want to spend forever talking about how shitty this guy was. Well, I could do it for at least 45 minutes.
It's good,
but
it's good to reminisce about the good one, though.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
At least we're Ben ending. Ben Spies, like, picks up his tempo, too. If he, like, when he first started, like, he would get injured and then have him in the box or whatever. Yeah. Super slow, kind of like borderline slack jawed. But then he, over the years, kind of picked up the tempo.
I hope he's not listening now.
Fucking slack jawed yokel. Right. Like, Ben Spies slack jawed. Like, Cletus the slack jawed yokel style.
I don't know if he's ever been that bad. Okay. Anyway.
All I'm gonna say is I've already drank half this bottle of wine, and I'm gonna do a better job than that guy did, and he's a paid professional. I'm drunk, and I'm going to do a better job.
Dorna, come on. Hire us. We will do some shit, and it'll be amazing. We'll get you plenty of followers. We built this
me,
for
I
nothing.
Can't take the job. Hire one of these two guys.
Thanks for bowing out gracefully on that one, Everett. Thanks for
odds by.
Yeah, speaking of getting paid, of course, this podcast is brought to you by Writer's Law. They commented on how they'd like the whole banner to be seen in my thing.
I told you.
So it's
I
here.
Told you on the last one.
I know.
Like,
the problem
move
is
the camera. I can crop it.
Yeah, I moved it. I moved it. It's
you
cropped
just gotta move
now.
Your head
it's
out
perfect.
Of the way too, Rob. Your head's in the way. Fucking
okay. This podcast is brought to you by Writer's Law. If you need any legal help in the state of California, please give Writer's Law a call. That's Writer's Law with a Z, i.e. this letter right here. They do great business. They do great work in the courtroom. They're really helping out racing, especially they're helping out my racing. They sponsor some club racers throughout California. They're helping out other Moto America racers. So if you want them to give back to the motorcycle racing community, give them a call. Everyone will be happy. Hopefully, you all make some money, and they'll get you whole again as much as possible for any motorcycle injuries. But yeah, give Writer's Law a call, and let's keep this whole thing going. So what's on the list here? All right,
Z for Zarco.
Fucking Zarky,
the honey
So, okay, so that's you two have already been dropping that word, honeypotting. I mean, to be fair, he did honeypot us about
he
the whole,
me.
Like...
So, he, hold on, let me...
Okay, so my,
let me
my man...
Up. I lost 20 bucks.
Yeah.
Kind of.
The benefactor of which was Kev.
This was a great bet, guys. They bet... Ev bet fucking Rob... that Zarco would beat Rossi, right? That's what it was.
Straight up.
And then you bet him 20 bucks. And whoever lost had to give it to me. And this was like heads I win, tails you lose. It was fucking dope. I was like, I'm not arguing.
No.
But it goes for boosting, not for buying wine. It goes for boosting something. Maybe a little wine. $6 bottle of Argentinian wine.
Yeah.
It went into the
Argentinian white is my shit, dog.
Tax.
This guy knows me. This guy knows me.
Exactly. It went into the Brota GP fund. So the whole reason why I made that bet is because Zarco, throughout testing and in free practice, didn't have the race pace, whereas Rossi showed something with race pace in free practice. When Zarco did that qualifying lap, I got just a tiny bit afraid, but we did make the bet after qualifying.
Yep, and what I was banking on was that Rossi would have gotten a bad start, and it was quite the opposite. So
that's a very
good
point.
I kind of knew once he was up in the top five right out the gate, I was like, fuck.
Oh, really? I wasn't certain then. Go ahead, Kev.
I'm just saying, like, you know, here's why I understand, like, why the Zarco hype train. Don't get me wrong. Like one guy said, I wasn't on the Zarco hype train last year, but now I'm drunk in the dining car this year all fucking season, right? Like, that was a great comment like that guy sent me. He's the man. I got nothing. Zarco's the man. I'm rooting for him huge, right? But let's not act like Valentino can't go at Qatar. Even if you go all the way back to 2013 or whatever, when he came back to Yamaha and he had all those fourth place finishes and he had the helmet, remember him chasing the top three, those guys, he still dominated and went really well and got second at Qatar. He can fucking, dude can get around that desert track at night, no doubt. It's hard for me to bet against Valentino not being on the podium in Qatar no matter what, because that's just one of his money tracks.
So Rob,
if you had told me Austin or if you had told me, you know, half the other races on the circuit, I'd be like, okay, maybe. No, okay, I'm listening. But not Qatar, man.
I'm not betting on Rossi at Austin. There's no way in hell I'm betting him there.
Rob, I want to know why you think, besides the bet and the early hunch, what's the reality of why? Because Yamaha just – maybe it's connected, so whatever. But going back to the bet, like – they've just done so poorly. I thought it was a pretty safe bet that Zarco would just stay ahead of him given the performance through qualifying. And then when you get into the race, he just shit the bed. I mean, it's crazy that he fell back to eighth. Why did his tires fall off so much more than Rossi's? And where do you think that, you know, set up?
I mean,
or deep
Rossi. So it's interesting because the bikes now, the factories, the different motorcycles, they all treat the tires a lot differently, right? The Ducati, what they worry about in the race is the rear tire. The Honda and the Yamaha, what they worry about in the race is the front tire. The Hondas worry about the front so much that they probably go with the hard and they make it work. Yeah. The Yamaha is such a shitty bike, shitty in quotations relative to the other, the Ducati and the Honda, that they're not fast enough to race the hard, but it's questionable whether or not they could finish the race on the medium. So with Zarco actually lost all of Friday trying to get the medium working, and actually he didn't even have the balance that he had in testing. Rossi was focused on that medium and hard decision the entire weekend and found something. So I think just Rossi put in the effort. He was able to get the medium working for the entire race, and Zarco didn't. And the one other thing, and you both will probably go with this quite a bit, is I think Zarco leading the race is actually the main reason why Rossi was able to go race distance on the medium front tire.
Yeah, totally. Slowing down the
pace.
Yeah,
I remember I sent you guys a message that said that the race was 6 seconds slower than 2016, mm-hmm. despite being literally the exact same track temperature.
Yep.
And the reason for that is that Zarco held him up. And so Zarco held him up, let Rossi bide his time, certainly let Dovizioso bide his time and work his way slow and methodical. The other thing I have to say is that, like, at the end of the day, don't get me wrong, Zarco's the man, and I really hope he's the next guy in the series, because Lord knows the series needs him to be a race winner and a podium contender. But Valentino got his 198th podium that race in the premier class, like 220-something in overall. Dude's been racing for 20 years. You don't think he knows how to manage some tires here or there? I mean, Zarco's his first race in his sophomore year, and Valentino has more podiums than half these guys have race starts.
But that's where I was kind of driving. Okay, let's play a game. If you had put Zarco as
game
on Vinales' bike, or they had a third factory bike with the technology or the right people telling him to go in a certain direction to get that longevity through the race, would he have been up there still? And that's, I think his talent's clearly there.
I'm going with no. Because he didn't have the race pace every single time he went on track at Qatar. That means that when he was out front running 56 low, 55 high, he was trying really hard. He was running at 95-98%. Whereas we know, like, especially Dovi and Marquez behind him, right? They had the pace for 55-2. They were not trying that hard at all. They were saving tires. Rossi did the same, right? 20 laps of not riding at 100% saves your tires. Maybe Zarco gain a few tenths off the factory bike and have more of a shot, but I just don't think his riding is there yet. He's not 198 podiums, like Kevin said.
Zarco needs a race like this. He needs a couple of them. What he needs to do is show, look, I can run at the front, but I have to have some tactics and I have to have a game plan. You can't win a race with no game plan. Sete Gibernau, like three-quarters of his career, was just leading from the front until it's Rossi passed him and passed with two laps to go and win.
Well,
Zarco needs to learn that, look, man, like, look at Dovi. He languished back in sixth for days. Yeah. Never fucking worried. Don't you think Dovi ever thought on, like, lap 8 when he was in 7th that he was not going to win that race? That fucking dude knew. Yeah. He knew because he had a game plan. He developed it. FP4 is what you look at what matters, because even though Zarco had pole and, yeah, he broke the lap record, that if you actually look at qualifying, it was tighter than shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so –
It's a one-off. It's an anomaly. We all know that. But I'm still just thinking that it's the lack of quality that his, you know, Tech 3 is still a satellite team. And for him to lead, what he lead, 25 laps or, you know, all but the last five, right? And I think you talk about a strategy, Herb Poncharal and Tech 3 got freaking press all day with their rider at the front of the race for you know, more than four-fifths of the race, right? So from that, from a marketing and getting your sponsors, making them happy, that counts for a lot in this world.
That counts for a lot until you get caught fucking picking bugs again live on TV. Like, how can that happen more than once? Don't get me wrong. Everyone's got to dig for green gold sometimes, and I suppose your booger's like smelling your own fart. Every once in a while, you got to do it just to see, just to fucking test the fucking flame. You know what I'm saying? But the dude, like, you haven't learned like we blew that up on our online and everyone saw it, and yet you fucking live are picking your nose again. That guy is so fucking happy Simon Karas sucked ass, because I hadn't even gotten around to memeing up him fucking picking a bug yet. Because I'm fucking memes left and right.
I love how he was like doing this and then he sees himself on camera and he goes like, he like reaches out to like fake it and then comes back to the mouth and is just like, all right, I'm trying to play it off. Playing it off.
Trying to play it off. Right.
That's his nervous tick, right? Yeah, anyway, man. I mean, we could belabor it. I just think it's an interesting thing to analyze that he's just doing so well, yet he can't. It's now kind of his stigma that he can't finish.
Yeah, no, no, it's not.
He rides on the front, and then he finishes in the rear nice and slow. That's how you gotta do it.
Eighth was bad, though.
That's how you gotta do it.
Eighth was pretty bad.
No, so not to further belabor the point, but he did not put in many performances like this last year. We got to remember he didn't make full race distance at Qatar last year, right? This is a track where he doesn't have full race experience.
He'd go five laps, not 20 laps, right? So it's that's all.
Exactly. So I mean, and he was known last year for running, being able to run the soft rear tire.
Yeah.
And get good performance out of it, good race distance. Now we're talking about the front tire with the Yamaha. We don't know for sure what fucking chassis or motor combination he's using.
Yeah. I don't think anyone at Yamaha knows what they're doing.
No. I think you're probably right.
I mean, at this point, Ducati has become the new Yamaha, and Yamaha has become the new, or Ducati's become the new Yamaha. Like, what in the hell is going on with Ducati? Or with the
Before
Yamaha?
Let's save that for later when we're talking about Rossi and Mav. No. So last point about Zarco. Does he deserve the HRC contract talk rumors that's going on?
I would love it.
Ev says he'd love it. I'd love it too. I want to see him. I'm fine. Like I've said before, I like new blood. And this
I don't
isn't
want
exactly
a Spanish
new blood,
Marquez
but...
on there.
No, it's just getting rid of Danny Pedrosa, right?
That's
then we have Zarco and Pedrosa on
Why?
The thing.
Let me ask you this. Why does he even deserve it more than Petrucci?
He doesn't. He's just Zarco.
Are they the same age? They're both old, kind of.
They're both older than shit.
Yeah, Petrucci's probably younger.
Did you guys see the qualifying top three pick? That didn't even look real.
Yeah.
Like, I know, Marquez compared to Petrucci looks like something's wrong. Like, someone used a weird fisheye lens. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
Didn't look great.
Exactly.
Which one does not fit?
Petrucci's older by a couple of months. They're both 27.
Oh.
Here's the thing. I'm big on Zarco. I like Zarco. He's got a lot of potential, and he's big. But he's got, like, three podiums. Yes?
Who's that kitty?
What cat?
Is there a George hiding in Kevin's black shirt or something?
No cat in this room.
There's something over there you're playing with then. Oh, I thought it was a cat tail.
No.
Yeah.
The phone case.
Oh. Dude, honey potted.
Kev fidgets.
Yeah, like, I also have, if you're information, a fidget. This is a bottle of small colored pencils.
Yeah, but you've actually used those to draw something, I'm guessing.
The mystery cat.
Yes. Here's a red colored pencil, and this will be our segue into as a Ducati. I'm right.
No. We're going Marc Marquez.
Oh, are we? Fuck.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Let me get the orange right. one. Wait, real quick. Hold
sorry,
on.
Kev.
Let me get the orange
got...
one.
Kev, you got interrupted, and you didn't finish your comment about Zarco and his HRC rumor.
Boo!
All right, Kev's done talking about Zarco. I'd be happy to see him at HRC. I'd be happier to see Petrucci there, but he's Italian. He'll stay with Ducati or something. I don't know.
Just doesn't have that factory rider like aura to him. I'm sorry. Like, I think he's extremely talented. I just couldn't see him get it.
That's a good way to explain it. Actually, he's missing that pizzazz. That something other. I mean, it's probably because. He's just what Petrucci? Petrucci's. Oh wait, are you talking about Zarco or Petrucci?
I think Petrucci's just too common man.
Too nonchalant. He's fucking hilarious in the press conferences.
I agree, but they're not looking for that. They're looking for someone to represent their brand and so on and so forth. And you know,
yeah. When was the last time an Italian was on a Repsol bike?
That's a good fun
Dovizioso,
fact.
Dovizioso in fucking 2012. Yeah. Before that.
Valentino.
Well, here's the thing. Simoncelli was on an HRC. He had an HRC contract. In the second year, he got the full HRC work spike. But that's so different. He had that intangible Jim Morrison, like, there's not
he
even
was, a he was the next valet, like, for sure.
Yeah, it's not even a name for it. There, it's just the ish. He had that ish. No one on the grid has that, right? Zarco's interesting. Well, I would say he has no social media, but now he's apparently running his social media. It'll probably be blander than shit, super terrible, corporate. But he almost was like he, you know, you can't classify him. He was like a, I don't even know how to describe it, but I could definitely see Zarco as a main factory writer, like an HRC. He kind of had like that cocksure confidence, the way he carries himself. He doesn't, like, Petrucci's like your goofy mid, like, Polish. Zarco was the older brother who always succeeded at everything you ever did and you were annoyed. Petrucci's like the weird middle kid, you know what I mean? That, like, probably did some cool
How
stuff,
did he make
the funniest
it?
Thing he ever did in baseball was he pulled the hidden ball trick once. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't, he didn't, like, lead the league in home runs. He just did some cool shit once in a while and it made you laugh.
Yeah. No, I totally agree there. All right. All we talked about the HRC contract. We're moving on to the booze. Lead us off this one, Kev. Yes. Lead us off.
I can't believe, like, this is now the third season where these things are happening, and the fucking media and the British press and the fucking Spanish fangirls are still freaking out over this booze stuff. Like, it is not a normal part of every sport. And don't give me this bullshit that they put their lives on the line. Don't get me wrong, that this is a dangerous sport, but so is fucking UFC, where they punch each other in the fucking face for money and they still get booed all the time and no one fucking complains. I told my man on Twitter this, is that what is the worst review you can get, Rob? 3 stars. You know why? 3 stars means, I sort of enjoyed it, but totally forgettable. You never remembered it and bland as fuck. If you are a brand, you want 5 stars or you want 1 star. You Cult want classic. Someone so fucking jacked out of their mind that they fucking jizzed in their pants and are on a 5-star review. Or you want someone so passionately fucking mad at you that they hit you with a 1 star and all they can do is talk shit. The last thing you could ever want is a 3-star review. 3-star means bland, uninteresting, boring, no one cares. And booing is the same thing. It's passionate fans who paid tickets. Don't give me this, they're not real fans bullshit. Just because they don't agree with what you say doesn't make them sure they're real fans. They bought a ticket and went to fucking Qatar to watch a race. That's a real fan in my book, son.
Kev, do you think they're honeypotting you? Do you think they're just trying to build up the hype and then create more hype around the booze?
No,
they're not that smart.
They're not that smart. That would be a fucking masterstroke game plan. What this is the same shit we've said before. This is a traveling circus, 18 races. They go around the world together. They're completely insulated. They're totally separate from reality. I think a huge portion of them are separate from their fans. And way too many of these journalists and way too many of the people who write like MotoFire blogs and all that fucking shit are just glorified fanboys who want to somehow be involved, right? Like, the whole motorcycle industry sucks because everyone isn't in it to make money. They're just in it to be around motorcycles. That's why every salesman sucks. That's why every shop sucks. That's why all the warranty work sucks. That's why, like, MV Agusta and Triumph and all them suck. Because everyone just wants to be in motorcycles and somehow make some money because they're fanboys. And the journalists are the same thing. And the problem is the same kind of shit when it comes to, like, political access. If you talk shit or you say bad stuff, you're fucking cut off. Because they can. Whoa. You're just... Not Whoa. There. They don't answer your question. I mean, they're calling on your questions in the press conference. And if you don't get access and writers don't want to do interviews, they're not fucking required. This isn't like the NFL where Marshawn Lynch was required to respond in front of everyone. You know what I mean? Like, there, none of this stuff happens in MotoGP. The whole paddock is full of fucking sycophant. Yeah, they'll blackball the shit out of you. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Kev, like, I love how half the stuff you just described describes MotoGP as well.
What? Fuck them! That's the thing. You know what? We're too real for those assholes. If they don't fucking like it, I don't give a shit. I'll get drunk and talk shit, and that's how we do, because that actually relates to the vast majority of fans who just like the opening of Talladega Nights. Speed, big, nasty speed, son. That's all we want. You know what I mean? That's why we all like Petrucci and Zarco, because they're regular guys. And you know why we don't like fucking Mark Marquez half the time? Because he's lived long enough to become the villain, and we're bored, and he rides for the evil empire. And I don't care what you say, he conspired with Lorenzo in 2015, and they threw the fucking championship, and I will never forget it.
I still don't like Marquez because he hasn't owned the villain yet. He's got to own it. We've talked about this before.
He's too freaking aloof, I think is the right word. He's just like, oh yeah, I'm awesome. Let's do it.
Until he goes, it gets into a dance contest with Danny Pedrosa.
He's happy-go-lucky. Like, you have no idea what's really happening.
I've said it a million times. Ric Flair lived off of booze. You know what I mean? I mean, even fucking Franklin Delano Roosevelt once said in the comments when they said, what do you think when the journalists hate you? And he said, I feed off of their hate. Or the fucking, you know, when he was going to, like, get rid of all the Supreme Court nominees, didn't agree with him. You got to feed off that hate, son. Embrace the villain. You ride for Repsol, the evil empire. No one fucking likes Repsol once you've won on them twice. That was Valentino's.
I can't figure out why you guys don't like him, though. I mean, he's so – there's so much, like, honor.
No, I like – no, I like to dislike him.
I don't dislike him.
No, I like – but I like to dislike him. Like, I like him to be there for me to have someone to root against.
Yeah,
right? I need the counterpoint. But here's
a good example. Here's a good example. The fucking Avengers Infinity Wars trailer dropped. What does everyone want to see? Motherfucking Thanos, son! He's got the Infinity Gauntlet! He's gonna fucking crush everyone! He's gonna kill Captain America! He's gonna fucking kill Captain America! And we're all gonna fucking cheer for how dope of a villain he is! That's why we all love Loki and why all the other villains in most of the movies suck fucking balls! Because he was a charismatic villain, and that's desperately what the series needs. Someone to become the villain and embrace it. Marquez, to me, Ev, comes off as just pre-manufactured, like, how do we make a protagonist for the series? Well, we make him Spanish, and then we raise him from the fucking embryo to become a fucking crazy
in a tube. I'm just saying, yeah, he was like just on the last lap, right? He knew that he was at a disadvantage, yet he still put 110 and tried to make the pass and gave us the show.
Perfect.
And you have to respect and admire that.
That's why he gets two stars instead of three, because he put in the effort. He made it there.
Two's no good either.
But I'm still, Kev, you're going to wait. I'm still, but he's there, and I know he's going to make the pass, and I'm rooting against him because I'm rooting for Dovi. That's exactly why. The race would have been more boring if he wasn't there. Go, Kev.
This is a problem! Dovi fucking beats his ass 3-0, comes from 8th on the grid to win, and all they want to talk about is Marquez had to go for it. He had to try, guys. Man, Marquez really had to go. This comes across as the most manufactured win, we're telling you to root for him. He's the fucking John Cena of MotoGP. Yeah. I'm never gonna root for him, because every time I think maybe I will, they remind me that I really should. Oh. And you're not a real fan if you don't.
I want to clarify one thing real quick. I was rooting for Dovi.
I don't care.
Marquez is going to be there. And
I don't
and
care if, who you're rooting for. Yeah. Look, no, that's good,
I've
Kev.
Said
you're right.
A million times. He's a once in a generation talent. He's unbelievable to watch. If he had left Repsol after his contract and went to Ducati and Suzuki, I'd be cheering the shit out of him, straight up. Yeah. But he didn't. He played it safe. He rides with the same bike. The story is old. We've already seen that. You know why the Hobbit sucked? Because we already saw three extended, overly blown out fucking J.R.R. Tolkien movies. Nothing was different. So everyone
you told us
sucked.
Last podcast.
Whatever.
You're,
I'm too drunk.
You're
to
doing. You're pulling a Hobbit. You're pulling a Hobbit by telling us.
Am
again.
I? There you go.
So going to Dovi.
That was meta as fuck.
No, hold on. One thing about Marquez in relating back to Zarco. So the funniest thing that I heard, and I'm probably the only one that thinks this is funny because I've won the bet with Everett, was that Marquez?
I won that.
Yes,
bet.
You will.
Worry,
yeah, Kev,
like
Kev won it.
Hobo bucks at least.
Yes.
Was that Marquez seemed to be the largest proponent of Zarco, saying that Zarco could win all this other
all
shit.
Games.
Then in the post-race press conference, what did he say? He said, yeah, I was happy to sit behind Zarco. I was waiting for Dovi. He gave zero fucks about Zarco being out front.
It's all the stuff you said. His team is so good. He gave him the analysis and said, Dovi, Zarco, just stick with him. And as long as Dovi's not past you yet, you're in good shape. And then as soon as he does, you got to stay with him or else you're fucked. And that's all the coaching they needed.
So this, I mean, at least in my mind, this is at least one point where it's not fucking manufactured bullshit. It's entertaining bullshit because he was lying to us.
Park Ferme is the emotion, the reality, right? So that's where interviews you get better because those are the good ones.
Right, those are the ones. They're fresh off the bike. They're full of adrenaline. They just had a battle. They aren't cool
and
collected enough to bullshit you. You know what I mean? They're fucking drunk off adrenaline. They're high as fuck, and they're going to tell you how it is. And as a fucking pit lane reporter, you got to be able to draw that out from them, son.
Yep. Kev has to bring it back to Simon. Oh, poor Simon.
God.
No, I mean, we're going to – so of course, the first race, right? I guess my only point for that was the first race finally revealed all the bullshit that everyone was slinging and gets to what Marquez really cared about, and it's fucking Dovi. So
right,
moving on to Ducati Moses. Mm-hmm. Like Kev already said, 3-0 in the final corner.
He is in his head. He has proven that Marquez only got one move, right? He has got an overhand right. He's got a haymaker. And if that shit doesn't work, he's exposed as fuck. It's like, oh, caught that shit. What?
I mean, fuck.
Kev just lost video.
Oh,
okay.
I'm back.
I mean, real quick, I just it was so cool the moment when you realized Dovi was gonna win. I don't know if you both had it, but I had it. And you just were watching, you're just like, it's over. And it was about mid race when he was there around like fifth or sixth and then moving up one position at a time, and you're like, he has so much fucking time and he's got his turbo. Menage! You know?
Right, like I posted the day before that, like, look, Zarco is fast and all. I think the exact thing was, like, he got us all hot and bothered, but it's really bound to Marquez and Dovi. But the problem is Dovi's got 218 miles an hour in his pocket. You can't fight that. I don't care who the fuck you are. You can't fight that when he can methodically get through the pack. And at the end of the day, he can hit 220 miles an hour. And I kept saying it on Twitter. I live tweeted the whole thing. We had a whole crew of us were going for it. And I was like, it doesn't matter. He's got 220 miles an hour in his pocket. You can't fight that. And if Marquez wants to dive bomb and then drag, fucking Dovi is ready for that every single time. Because at the end of the day, he knows how to put the fucking that rear tire to use. And the fucking bike is too much of a beast.
Well, so that's the thing, right? The differences between the two motorcycles. The HRC bike stressed in the front, the Ducati's working on the rear, and Dovi ran the soft rear tire. I mean, a lot of people did. But he was able to get the most out of it, and he gets that drive onto the straight. You say that Dovi has 218 in the pocket, but Marquez is there at 217 and a half. Right? HRC found a lot of motor in the winter, a lot in the off season.
And that track, they just got it figured out, I think. I mean, they're getting off the turns. The turns lend themselves well for that to rev up faster and get the grip down. I mean, because other tracks, he used to pull away, and now that's not the case. HRC kind of figured it out mid-season last year and the year before, right? So, you know, respective to those seasons. But
yeah. Yeah, but I mean, but so Ducati still has the early off the corner drive figured out a little bit more.
Correct.
Than
so it gets a little head start.
That's what I think.
And then it like it's like and yeah. you watch the overhead and you're just like Jesus Christ, and he just fucking
yes,
pulling.
But,
yeah, it feels fucking, like more than a mile an hour.
yeah. Well, and it looks like because a mile an hour is over a bike length. Exactly how much he won by doesn't matter. Like. The top speed and the grunt and the acceleration is better. Dovi knows how to use it, and Dovi knows that Marquez's ace up his sleeve is dive bombing. Dive bombing never lends itself to getting good corner exit because you're dive bombing. You are not throwing, you are not hitting the corner the way you want in ideal conditions to get out. You're trying to block pass and throw the dude offline, but Dovi's ready for it. And the problem is Marquez has shown now three times in a row. He only has that one card up his sleeve, the same dive bomb pass. And Dovi's like, well, if you're going to do it, it's so predictable.
I actually think he showed it for pretty much every single corner on that final lap. Like Marquez was pulling time on every corner entry that he could, that he was on the brakes. And that was the only reason why he stayed with them. But Dovizioso would just pull away a little bit, and Marquez didn't have anything in a place where he could make a pass stick. The final corner, like Kev said, it was the dive bomb.
He was compensating most of the laps, but and hanging in, that's what I mean. As soon as Dovi passed him, all he was doing was trying to just stay with him. And I'll bet they even said, if you just come out of this with second, you've won. It's the first round, right? You know, they always say, just don't crash in round one, right? Same for Supercross. Just make it out of Anaheim one without crashing, without getting a DNF. Just get a podium and move on. It's the first fucking race. Get it out of the way.
Well, okay, right. so let's round out these two a little bit then with that, right? Marquez at a Yamaha track of Qatar seemed to actually be riding responsibly, right? This wasn't the
I'm
Marquez
saying.
From before, and he came out with second place. Yeah.
It used to be a Honda track. Now it's a Ducati track.
Oh. Eh.
Well, with Dovizioso winning 7 of the last 14 races, is everything a Ducati track?
No, because the riders. I mean,
unless your name is
Miller,
fucking Jorge.
Jorge just shit the bed, allegedly had problems. But, I mean, you know, Honda, Pedrosa and Cal was surprisingly there, which was kind of cool to see. But, you know, Danny, he kind of fell off, and then he kind of clawed back, and then he kind of fell off again, which is typical Danny.
Irrelevant, but there.
And maybe it's not even a manufactured track at this point. It's a Dovi Marquez track. I don't know, but
it's a. You mean like all tracks? It's a go fast and win track.
yeah, exactly. How that works? The guy who goes fastest usually wins.
Who overthought that thing?
Let's talk about Dovizioso's confidence a little bit, right? Ducati is out of the gate really well. He finally broke the second place at Qatar. How does he take this into the next couple of tracks? Does it maybe affect him?
That dude is strutting around right now like he's got an 8-inch cock. He is straight up like this is the third time in a row he's smacked fucking Marquez down. He's winning at tracks in all conditions, all over, all different kinds of tracks. What did he just do? He's gotten second like 3 years in a row, right? Something along those lines. Now what does he do? He wins. He just improved upon normally being in the fight and now winning. This guy right now is fucking riding cloud nine. You know, not to bring back the horrendous hashtag that they did in 2016 with Dovi on Cloud 9. But he's fucking living on Cloud 9. That guy knows he can win at any track day in and day out.
Dude, we could make the predictions for the rest of the races and be probably about 80% right.
It's
that bad.
Dovi's win rate coming into before he had his wins last year at Ducati was 1.25%.
Yeah.
Dope.
Ooh.
Right.
Argentina.
In the last 15 races, it's 50%.
Yeah. Argentina. Damn. Austin. Jerez.
Like, if you look at
France
and
Mugello,
and you know he's going to be relevant at pretty much all those except for Austin. And even that, I'll bet they'll get better than they were last year. But they're not going to be – I don't think he's going to win there. I think it's an HRC podium.
Last year Ducati was relevant in Argentina, but Iannone got fired.
No,
because where he crashed.
Not last year. That was 2016.
That was 2016. Fuck.
I'll predict a Marquez Dovi battle there for this one.
I think a Marquez Dovi battle prediction is every race this year.
Yeah,
I think that Dovey has the ability to win at any track. Can he? I don't know. I'm just saying he has that ability. The bike is sorted as all hell. Look, I tried to say it and you cut me off, but Ducati is the new Yamaha. It's neutral. It works well for almost all riders at every track.
We agree on that.
Tito Rabat fucking Willem Dafoe. Look at his fucking results.
Oh, he got his 2 seconds of fame.
Oh, All right, man.
All right, boys, with that, I got to run.
Oh, my man's out.
Ev is taking off.
Gotta go.
How are we gonna like hide you here?
Hide me.
What are we gonna do? I don't even know what we're gonna do. All right, Ev. Go have fun playing a hockey or something.
Stick sports.
That's you're
stick
crazy.
Sports. It's not a ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. All right, Ev, get out of here. We'll finish this one up. Talk to you later.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Doing a little. Hold on.
What are you holding me on?
There we go.
Holding me on. Hold on. Don't you know who you're talking to, bitch? You can't. I'm a wild. You can't bridle me. I'm a fucking free flowing Mustang, son, running through the fucking fields of Mongolia, looking wild and free. You can't hold me down.
All right. You want to talk about Ducati is the new Yamaha, or you want to talk about...
No, what I want to talk about is if fucking Andre Dovizioso was the Ducati Moses, fucking Jorge Lorenzo was the Ducati Rapunzel. And what do I mean by that? Instead of letting his hair down, he just lets us fans down. What in the fuck with this guy?
That's bad.
At this point, yeah, exactly. Hashtag Ducati Rapunzel. You fucking make that shit go viral, son. Hit me with the memes. I'm just saying, the letdown that this guy has become is unfucking real. I'm so over it at this point. He's so irrelevant. And he's, at this point, the guy sounds like despondent and depressed. And it's like, this is the worst experiment gone wrong, except you can't tuck tail and run back to fucking Yamaha and say you'll take a low salary. Because they already signed Valentino, and they already signed fucking Maverick. And no offense, man, but you got nowhere to go. We are at Simon Crafar level of Ducati riding at this point.
Ooh, that's terrible. I'm gonna play devil's advocate a little bit here. He did have a very dramatic technical problem in the race that made him 100% irrelevant, right? We don't know what sort of performance he would have had without that technical problem. The brakes failed. When he ended up crashing, it looked like he caught a false neutral, but everything sounded a little funny, and then it comes out in reports later that the brakes failed. He was having brake issues the entire time. You can't ride a MotoGP bike fast enough to compete with the brakes being shitty.
Right. But look at him in qualifying and practice. It's not like this guy was set as a fire. All we can talk about all qualifying was fucking Zarco. All we talked about all qualifying and practice was Dovey has the pace. Even when we said in our little our group chat, Valentino's got the pace. You even said it. Look, man, his qualifying's not good, but he's 0.5 seconds a lap faster than Zarco. You called it. Valentino's going to be on the podium. Nowhere did anyone say across media anywhere did anyone talk about Jorge Lorenzo in FP1, 2, 3, 4, Q1, or Q2. They talked about Jack fucking Miller, who was in Q1 more than they talked about fucking Ducati Rapunzel. I'm just saying, at this point, they had the fucking Ducati boss in there talking about Jack Miller after they were putting that he dominated Q1. Like, dominating Q1 means anything, right? He wasn't even a part of their talking points for the weekend at that point. So you can say he had a spectacular brake failure, and all that might be true. I don't really fucking know. I'm waiting for the newest Dear George to find out what really happened. But what I'm saying is that he was irrelevant from the get-go all weekend. So to tell me that he might have had the pace and done well during the race is to say, I guess I don't know, because he showed me nothing. I straight up said, Dovey's going to win the race. Look out for Dovey. The real fight is him and Marquez. No one ever called look out for Lorenzo. No one ever said Lorenzo was a guy to really look for. All we said was that this guy continues to let us down like the fucking dad who left us and we keep trying to keep in contact with. Just a big letdown, guys. Ooh. Don't try to do that. Just be done with it already.
That one hurts. Ooh.
That one hit me in the heart a little bit. In the heart
a lot of feels there. No, I mean, appeal, well, son. So let's make a comparison then. Like, people were talking a lot about Maverick, and yet he had similar performance to Jorge the entire weekend. He was struggling. He was in Q1, right? He made it through. He started. Didn't he start 12th? Right? He was last in Q2. Right? Those are terrible performances for someone riding an M1 at a Yamaha track who won there the previous year, right?
Correct.
The whole reason why people didn't talk about Jorge is because, and why they talked about Jack Miller is because they didn't expect Miller to do that well, but he did better, right? You're talking about him. I don't know why people were talking about Mav over Jorge. Maybe just Mav was making more of a stink. He's now the paddock whiner. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Did you see Jorge's post-race interviews? I mean, there is a solid battle for Paddock Whiner there. I mean, Maverick might have a point that Yamaha's not looking that great. Rossi had to, you know, battle and tactic and guile his way to a third place. Zarco got eighth. The Yamaha's not looking that great. Petrucci was on the front row. Dovi was on the front row. Dovi wins the race. Miller's looking decent. Tino Rabat gets 11th or whatever it finished. Like, everyone on the Ducati but Jorge can do well. Maverick might have been more of a story because, look, he won last year and now Yamaha's having problems. But look, what was the story of Maverick? He battled through the problems and all of a sudden was hauling ass. The whole fucking telecast, they're saying, look, three more laps and Maverick wins this race. Two more laps, Maverick wins this race.
That's the distinction. Everyone agrees that the M1 is kind of a turd, which we do as well. But everyone else is looking at Dovizioso just spanking Jorge, and they're not going to talk about Jorge because of that. So we understand with Mav. With Jorge, we're like, what the fuck, dude? Get your shit together.
Right. Jorge is the problem with Jorge is he's the only one who can't ride that. How could he be? It's like the reverse Casey Stoner syndrome. You know what I mean? This is Bizarro Stoner. He's the Bizarro Stoner. He's the only one who can't ride a Ducati. Fucking Petrucci came from like 600 super stock. Who even is Petrucci? He's 10 feet tall. He weighs 215 pounds. He's like a fireman or a cop or something. I'm not sure.
Thought he was a police officer. What's going on?
I said fireman or cop. I don't know. and fucking Jack Miller, Tino were back and riding this thing. Miller gets 10th and he's mad that he got 10th because he expected better, right? And yet this guy is the only guy. He's the Bizarro Stoner. I mean, look, man, I'm not saying send me Ducati Rapunzel memes or Bizarro Stoner memes, but send me those memes and I will post them.
It's depressing to talk about. Like, I don't even know what to say with Jorge. How do I make this exciting for our listeners? Like, you already got the analogy. It's fucking Rapunzel. Let's just fucking move on. He's
right.
Do we think he'll turn it around at a European track this year? Maybe he'll get on the podium a couple of times. Maybe he gets his one win. So the question is, does Ducati sign him or do they go? Do they put a ton of money down for Petrucci or Zarco?
I'm telling you right now, man, I'm seeing a whole year's worth of nothing, and I'm seeing a shitty off-season testing, and I'm thinking cut your losses, spend a lot less money for a lot more publicity, and sign Zarco.
So that means Jorge needs to jump now and go after a Suzuki ride, because there's nothing else to do.
If it were me personally, I wish I would have waited a little longer. I might have signed Pekka Bagnaia to that factory seat.
Straight up. To the Ducati factory seat?
Yes. Yes. I think that they should have signed him. They should have signed him to a factory contract and then said, we're going to wait for the first six races before we decide whether it's Pramac factory bike or straight up Marlboro factory bike.
Well, it is a Pramac factory bike though, right? Isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Is his contract with Ducati or is it with Pramac?
Yes,
it is
with Ducati.
So his current. So it seems like they could probably still move things around if they really felt like it. All right, we were talking about Jorge sucking just like someone's internet connection, probably mine. But we're gonna fix this. Thank God for editing.
That's some fucking Illuminati shit right there. That's just Dorna cutting our shit off because they're mad because I posted the fucking Dorna Gorgon decided they would start the whole like. all this buildup, the greatest season we ever had, two seasons in a row, and they start us off with the most fucked up, stupid, Stranger Things ripoff intro ever. They say they're not human. They call them aliens because they're made of tougher stuff than the rest of us. I mean, no offense, not to fucking quote my girl, but that is bullshit. Bull. What in the hell was that intro, my man? What was going on there with the fucking Stranger Things?
It was pretty bad. I thought it was gonna be fine if Steve Day wasn't talking the whole time, because the narration was just too scripted, too read off of copy. It didn't work for me at all. Like, I was kind of getting a Tron vibe. Like, it sounded like Daft Punk maybe made the mix for that music. But then you told me about Stranger Things, and I'm like, God, piece of shit. Why would they do this? This is worse than the Yamaha. It was worse than the Yamaha, like, guitar playing fucking reveal video.
Right, because the Yamaha reveal video almost had a little camp to it. Like, maybe it was purposefully stupid. Like, haha, that's funny. Let's just, like, be, like, self-deprecating in a funny way. Like, we'll do it. It's good. Because Rossi's...
We know it wasn't, but still.
Right, but we can at least lie to ourselves and say that. This fucking Stranger Things intro was serious as a heart attack. And they handed Steve Day that script, and they said, read this stone cold. No inflection, and you gotta fucking read this like you're reading someone's obituary. And all I was thinking was, this is the obituary of the fucking my interest in the season already. What in the fuck possessed them? Zarko just like, they were like, what? Zarko's like, hey man, what you want me to do? And they're like, I don't know. Slap these two barrels and we'll film it in slow-mo. It'll be tight.
We'll put some water on them. It'll make it so much better.
Make some splashing water. It's going to be so good. You don't even know. And we're going to lead off with Alacia Spargo and shit. I mean, what in the hell were they thinking? Like,
One of my least favorite things that basic bitches do is take photos of themselves jumping in a group. And who, like, one of the first people to fucking be on this intro, one of the first racers, is Mark Marquez, and all he does, jumps up in the air.
That was one step away from him putting his hand on his hip, thumb in, sticking his hip out, his butt away, flipping his hair, and being like, well, look at us. We're just so fucking crazy on this Friday night.
Doing the sorority squat.
Marquez was like fucking one step away from like, fuck guys, we're just going out and dancing. We're not going to hang out with any guys at all. We're just going to put our bags on the ground and get in a big circle. We're just going to fucking dance. And we're just going to dance all night. Like, what in the fuck? Who thought that? You're so right. It was the most basic bitch thing you could possibly do.
Yep. And they do that for Marquez.
And the fact they didn't have fucking Scott Reddy with his goat. I'm telling you guys, the dude has a goat. Make use of that. He rides for Aprilia. No one cares. He, like, make use of that. You got to learn how to sell these guys. You can sell Marquez at the end of the day, no matter how manufactured and stupid he is, by the fact that he rides the number one bike and he's spectacular to see. Scott Reddy needs some help. He rides a shitty bike with a terrible ivory. But you know what? We can make this guy a star because this guy raps to his girlfriend, has a goat. I could work with that as a publicist. I could work with that.
If you weren't being paid 25,000 euros a year, you could work with it.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. That's the thing that we just saw. The opening fucking intro to, like, we just saw an amazing season, down to the wire, underdog versus the once-in-a-generation talent, the working-class man versus the talented guy, and all this stuff. We're coming into, like, another season. Could it possibly be even better? And we started off with $20,000 a year salary, you know, intro guy. I mean, I'm pretty sure our intro to this video was cooler than that.
And Dennis made it, and he doesn't even come on anymore.
Dennis isn't even – all Dennis looked at was the Marvel intro to those movies, and he's like, we can do that with motorcycle pictures. This is all good.
And then I had to make it three times longer, and I just copied the same photos over
right,
and over
exactly.
again, which you guys probably didn't even notice. You didn't even notice. Everyone listening on the podcast definitely didn't notice.
The beginning of every Mission Impossible movie's intro shows the whole movie.
What?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Not to ruin the movie for you real quick, but pick up any Mission Impossible or any episode of Mission Impossible, and they light the fucking match, light the fuse, and what happens really quick is the full flash too fast for you to notice synopsis of the entire movie or episode.
What?
Yep.
I'm
real news.
They wrote that the most recent Mission Impossible has been on cable quite a bit lately. I'm going to check this out. I can't do slow-mo on my
not
Apple
lying.
TV, but
not lying.
Yeah. All right. I was wondering, you haven't ruined a movie or, you know, provided some insight for a movie in like two or three podcasts.
There you go. Right off the top of my head.
Nice. All right. We talked about the intro. We only got one topic left. Well, it's kind of two topics. We got one topic left. I want to talk about Yamaha a little bit more. I want to talk about the differences here and maybe the fight between 198 podiums and a whiner that fights back through the pack anyway. Is that what I can call him now? So Rossi versus Mav. Let's get into that.
All right.
You jackass. That's all you're going to give me? That's all you're going to give me?
That's what you got. Lead it.
God damn it. All right. I mean, Kev already brought both those points up. Rossi has 198 podiums in the Premier class now. His podium rate is, well, one, that's more podiums than most people have race entries, right? Doesn't Capo Rossi has 200 entries. Like maybe two or three other people have more than 200 race entries.
Think about the fact that we're all on Zarco's jock, dick riding like a motherfucker because he has like two or three.
Yep. Yeah. Well, is it just you just like the new cock more than the old one that you know performs well?
All I'm saying is when it comes to strange, you might have a hot, look, show me a hot chick and I'll show you a guy who's sick of her shit. And it's the same thing. You might get filet mignon every single night, but sometimes you just want to make chicken. You don't necessarily need someone to see you doing it. You don't need to brag to your friends about it. You don't need to Instagram photo it, but sometimes you just want a Wendy's taco. One of those greasy, nasty, slightly see-through, the cheese isn't even melted,
Wait, Jack in the Box taco. You said taco. Wendy's.
I meant Jack in the Box. You know what I'm saying?
Two for 99 cents. Actually,
it's
amazing
deal.
Food.
It's
that's
amazing
high school.
Food.
That takes me back to high school.
Yeah exactly. So I'm just saying, like sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
So Zarco's your Jack in the Box taco,
right?
And Rossi's your filet mignon.
Yes, that's what I'm
saying.
Wow. Right.
Wow, that's a little rough for Zarco, I guess.
Not necessarily. I mean, the Jack in the Box tacos are dope. Don't get
and a
me
lot
wrong.
A lot of people do love them. It's
right.
It's yeah.
What's
very
not
reachable.
To love about like completely manufactured congealed cheese like product in a slice stuck on a fucking tortilla that's so greasy it's transparent? We all know from the Homer Weighs Over 300 Pound episode that the test for whether it's going to make you fat is if you rub it on wax paper and the shit goes see-through. Okay? So we all
know that. About
that. So if your fucking taco is see-through, it's good to go.
Oh, that's awesome. Wait, was that the episode where he had to obtain the special dialing wand?
Yes,
for the telephone?
Master keypad with your palm now because your fingers are too fat.
He left the bird in charge of one thing.
Are too
yeah.
fat.
All right, no, back
right,
on topic here. Motorcyclist
was used to stop the spread of noxious gas.
I love The Simpsons, everyone. If you didn't,
you know what
know
was
that,
kind of
so.
Funky about that episode? That what? For reals is that. Think about all the episodes, right? Like The Simpsons, sort of like Marital Children esque, is that Homer? He's never truly happy. He loves his family. He loves his wife. He loves his kids. But in the true like tradition of like the American middle aged male status, is he's suffering for the happiness of his kids, and for once in his life. He's happier than shit. Look at that episode where he's hella fat all the time. He's never upset. He's productive at work. He's super fat. He loves his clothes. He's happy with who he is. And yet, everyone else rides on him so much because they don't like the repercussions of it. Suddenly, Marge doesn't find him attractive. And the kids are mad that they're getting made fun of because of their dad instead of being upset at the kids making fun of their dad. The only time Homer's ever been truly happy in the whole 30 fucking seasons episode of The Simpsons is when he was a little overweight and it put him in a position to succeed, and suddenly that's a terrible thing and everyone's got a shit on him. That's a fucked up episode when it comes down to it, because it proves that no matter what, in the end, Homer can't be happy. I'm not trying to bring y'all down right now.
I love
that's some bummer status shit right there.
I love how you started that point with he was productive at work, and he literally left that little water bird that tilts to tap
correct.
The Y key.
But he had just tripled his productivity.
Yeah, by no longer typing E and S.
Y-E-S. Yeah, he knew. Hey, that's not his problem. He tripled
that's
his
true.
Productivity
that's
one
true.
Day in.
Also,
where was
so
that
he was
he ordered? Where was
so
that
he was more
ordered?
He was more productive at work on based on Homer's standards. You also said that he was a little bit fatter based on Homer's standards.
He was more productive than fucking Jorge Lorenzo certainly is at Ducati right now. I'm not
that's
saying
true.
That a
that's
water-filled
true.
Bird tapping down on the rear brake every couple of seconds would be more effective than Jorge Lorenzo was, but I'm saying that bird would ride the Ducati better than Jorge Lorenzo would.
It probably would, and it's probably more likely that that bird would be continued to be hired at Ducati for next year. At
correct.
Least I hope so.
Right.
Ooh, poor Jorge. All right, no, we were talking about Yamaha. So, I mean, Rossi and Mav, the core problem that they're facing right now is they seem to be butting heads about the development path. At least maybe the journalists are telling us that they're butting heads, right? Mav is fighting front-end issues. Rossi is worried about the electronics. Then they get to Qatar and Rossi's worried about the front tire and Mav doesn't have any grip or feel on the whole bike. The whole bike is fucked up for both of them. And yeah, they pull out this performance. I mean,
I'm super wasted right now. So I'm going to leave you. I'm going to let you keep talking for a minute. Cause the room is a little spinny right now for me. Legit. I'm super fucking drunk.
I almost brought a bottle of wine out for this episode just to make you happy.
All right.
No, I mean, God, see, that's the thing. That was kind of formulated as a question a little
all
bit.
All right,
and
I can
now
answer
I'm...
that thing. Here's the thing. I have a little bit of hope because Valentino did well. He got third. He got his 190th podium or whatever fucking number it is. It's all good. But Maverick, I think Maverick has proven himself to be an emotional rider. He rides the highs and he rides the lows, right? But he said he found something that reminded him of early last year. So my hope is down in the doldrums, down in the fucking darkness, he found something through grit and determination, and he realized there it is. There's that intangible setup that I've been chasing all off season, the second half of last season consistently, and I found it. And he was hard charging. He wasn't settling for like an eighth or a ninth or a tenth to salvage. He was coming hard. He was riding fast. He was setting lap times that were equal or ahead of the front runners. He was in it to win it at the end. And I think that confidence that he found is going to be huge.
But that's the thing though. You said the exact word though, that intangibleness about the setup, right? He was running fast times, but they weren't really that fast. Right, we talked about how Zarco had been holding the entire field up. We talked about how most everyone was running 55 a high. That's a slow pace for. We talked about how the whole race was 6 seconds slower than the last time they ran full race distance. Right, and with the track temperature exactly the same. Like it to me, Maverick putting in that performance just says he was on a factory bike and he's a factory rider. He should have more tire at the end of the race and he should be able to charge through. Like a couple of years ago, we knew that every factory bike was going to be in the top 10 and they were going to be towards the front of the top 10 every single time, no matter what happened. Right? Maverick putting in that performance is just him living up to my expectations of you're one of the best riders on the planet. Just do it. Yeah, you should beat Scott Redding.
Good point. Fuck.
So
that's a good point. You should be.
So
Scott
I mean,
Redding. If
I
you
mean,
don't if you don't beat Scott Redding, why are you even there?
Who didn't beat Scott Redding? Did Carl beat Scott Redding?
You know, my man was just saying, I was just talking to my man Remy, and he was saying, man, we never give Zarco any shit. We just post funny memes about him all the time. We make him famous. Now we're giving him a shit. And he's like, and I'm like, we're going to fucking blow up Zarco this fucking race weekend. And he's like, yeah, no one's immune. Fuck him. And he's like, well, maybe Carol. And I'm like, man, Everett gives Carol fucking shit so much all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Carl actually spanked Scott Redding. Carl scored the final point, and Scott Redding got 20th. So absolutely spanked.
Ugh.
Yeah. Even after – so – I have an interesting thing, a bone to pick with Carl.
Ooh.
He did a C group track day rider mistake in Q1.
The fucking tire warmers.
The fucking tire warmer. Well, what okay, so probably fuck? So maybe not Carl, but what's up? We've talked about how Avintia is potentially the lowest team on the grid.
Yes.
Right? We don't know where they're getting all their money from, but then Carl. He goes down pit lane with a tire warmer flapping in the breeze. Like, are they duking it out for the lowest team on the grid here?
Aspar is potentially the team that's going to take over Yamaha's, right? And they're like, Yamaha's like, yeah, fuck. I mean, Lynn Jarvis ain't having that shit. The moment Lynn Jarvis saw that shit, the new rumor instantly popped up fucking yesterday that Mark BDS is now the new front runner for the Yamaha. I've seen this all over Twitter and in the rumor mills and on the text and the messages from some people, you know, is that suddenly it went from a fucking Aspar, but they apparently can't take a tire warmer off the fucking bike, and now suddenly Mark BDS has that. The team that we know is a fucking shit team.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, Mark BDS, they don't have the experience. They don't have the technical know-how. I mean, they're being handicapped by that Honda. Aspar, they've been there for quite a while. If Bautista gets his head screwed on straight, they might do something good this year. Thankfully, Carl didn't die. Like, didn't high sight himself in the middle of the pits. So that'll work out good for him, hopefully. But no, it's just mistakes. All right, we gave people more shit. Who else can we give shit on this one? Let's round this off with some shit talking.
Let me count the ways.
Oh, all right. Here I'm gonna give shit to Taka Nakagami because he did exactly what I expected him to do. I didn't expect him to do it here at Qatar. I expected it to happen sometime later on in the season. He crashed in practice. He crashed in FP4, if I'm not mistaken. He then had a terrible qualifying session.
All right.
He had a terrible warm-up, and he had a terrible race.
Right.
He essentially went from being the battling with Morbidelli for the top rookie spot to I'm going to get 17th and be beat by pretty much everyone that matters.
Right.
Yeah, there. That's my shit for Taka. Is he coming out of it?
First round, jitters, a lot of weight on his shoulders because of the preseason stuff. Look, I mean, it's hard for me to judge anyone on a Honda satellite at this point because we know they're kind of shitty and it's hard to come to grips with. I'm willing to give Taka a little more leeway than I would say give someone else with a similar performance. I mean, he finished the race.
Well, but hold on. Cal did unexpectedly good, right?
Right.
He finished fourth place. We compare Taka to Morbidelli, who is on Mark VDS, which is a team that has the least experience with Hondas, and we just said has like the least technical know-how about a MotoGP bike, and yet Morbidelli beat Taka, right? Tom Luthi beat Taka, right? It seemed like he had everything going, and then just it's like he got disqualified for running the wrong air filter.
And yeah, had exactly.
And that's terrible MMO, 10 right? races.
That's his MMO. That tends to be his MMO. His MMO so, a little bit.
So even if
I
so
keep
even
saying
if HRC,
I keep saying MMO. By the way, you know, I mean, you know if you noticed, I do love my massive multiplayer online games. Do love me some Warcraft.
Oh man, Kevin's getting so drunk. I feel like we should call this one.
No, I'm gonna keep going. No, man. You want to talk shit? I'm ready to talk shit. I just wasn't prepared to talk shit about Nakagami because it's like expectations and reality. It's not worth talking shit. Like, look. You want to talk shit about Nakagami? I don't know. He wasn't that great of a Moto2 rider. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's let him grow into it. Ah, it's not worth it. It's low-hanging fruit, son. Simon Crenfer, Now, there's some shit-talking capability. Jorge Lorenzo on Ducati, there's some shit-talking capability. Like, you ask me to talk shit about Simon Crafer, and I come up with, he sounds like fucking so shitty that God ruined a good butthole by putting teeth in his mouth, and he's as useful as Anne Frank's drum set. You say Jorge Lorenzo, and I'm like, ah, Ducati fucking Rapunzel, because all he does is let us all down instead of his hair. Like, I could come up with stuff. Nakagami, I don't know what the fuck to come up with when it comes to him. He's like a mid-pack Moto2 guy that got a good shot. I really hope he does well and turns in and was able to put up some decent performances.
Wow. It's not worth so talking positive shit. Of you. All right. It's not worth talking shit. Let's finish this off then with your choice for some additional shit talking.
Additional shit talking.
Yeah.
More
so someone you pick someone you haven't talked about.
Okay,
let's round
to
this
prove
one off.
A point when it comes to improvisation, this is not scripted, not in the syllabus. I can screenshot our text and go, I'm drunker than shit. Okay? Rob is going to give me a random writer right now, and I'm going to blow it up, and I'm going to come up with some kind of good hashtag. I have no idea. But what my point is that Simon Crafer is so bad at his job that me drunk is going to be better than my job then.
All right. I'm going to make this – I think I have my choice here. I have my choice. This is going to be a little interesting.
All right.
Andre Iannone.
Fucking Iannone. This is not even that hard. How can
– No, but – I'm going to stall you just a little bit. I'm explaining my choice here. You love Andrea Iannone.
He's my spirit animal. Spirit animal.
So,
in fact, today on Twitter, I got an argument with a guy on booze, and apparently I didn't read his sarcasm enough, and he must have said there's no sarcasm on the planet where you come from, and I said, bitch, I'm from Planet Iannone. We traded our sarcasm for more E days ago.
All right, I've explained my choice enough. You love Iannone, and I want you to talk shit about him. And look, he's also going to provide lots of fuel.
Look, man, like the guy was super fast in testing. Then he can't race because he can't test because he's super sick. But the day before, he's dancing on the bike. I don't know. To see the performance and where he's going right now really fucking pisses me off because the bike is supposedly a million times better. Alex Rins looks pretty good. Look, Alex Rins was never the talent that Iannone was in Moto2. Iannone used to take it to Marc Marquez and beat him on occasion. Iannone is the guy who got Ducati's first fucking win after the fucking famine of wins, right? Like, fucking... there was as many fans dying as there was fucking African dudes in Sudan when it comes to famine. Like, that's how bad it was, this fucking Ducati. We were dying. We were dying. Thirst for the wins. And Iannone gave us that fucking drink of heavenly fucking water. And then he goes to Suzuki. And okay, I can say that Suzuki the first year is a little tough. Kevin Schwantz is talking some shit, which is never good. They don't have concessions, and they had two brand new riders. It's probably not the best idea. They probably should have kept the Lace of Spargo. But in the end, now you're on the bike. Now you're doing well. You've got concessions. You were fast as fucking testing. I even said, I'm going to put it all in 29, because I got a feeling about that number. Grandpa Simpson style. And what the fuck do you do, man? Like, at this point, I would rather have you run at the front and crash 2017 Zarco style than just finish a random order. What in the hell is going on? Like, fucking Rob just said, get up to the front, run as hard as you can, and even if you burn your tires and end up, you know, 8th or 9th or 10th, at least you got sponsor time, you showed the bike has capabilities, you're good to go. What in the fuck is happening here, man? Oh, at this point for Iannone, what I want him to do is run 5 laps to the front and crash.
pull a Zarco at Qatar last year.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Rins was up there battling in the front group. Iannone missed the front group entirely. And we didn't talk about Rins on this episode because we just forgot. But the majority of the media
forget about this episode, speaking of Iannone, is the fact that in British Superbike, there is a bike that is sponsored by motherfucking Pornhub. Ladies and Gentlemen, we have reached peak livery with a Pornhub livery and the Augusta. I fucking challenge you to come with something better than that. My man Knack was right 100% with peak frame, because 2016 was a faster race than this year. His peak frame was reached, and with Pornhub.com fucking doing a bike now in British Superbike, we have reached peak livery. Go to our Facebook page, go to our Instagram, look at that thing. They sponsor like a 19-year-old kid, and he has the most shit-eating grin you've ever fucking seen. I can't
It's like
wait
he just discovered internet porn.
I cannot wait until Tube 8 and fucking Red Tube and What the Fuck People are fucking sponsoring bikes on MotoGP, because there ain't no rule against it, son. Larry Flynn is sponsoring a bike. It's going to be the shit. You thought Playboy was classy as fuck? No, 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 no. Wait till we got fucking Bugatti splashes all over. I can't
just,
even finish that sentence.
No, no, you can't. You didn't even say it right. You said it like Ducati.
I said Bugatti.
Oh, Bugatti. Oh, man. That's all right, everyone. We're closing this one out. Not only is the Pornhub bike sponsored by Pornhub, they're also sponsored by Tsingtao, which I think is Chinese beer. It's beer.
The Pornhub bike is Dickies Racing.
That is also true. They're sponsored by Dickies, they're sponsored by beer, and it's Pornhub.
You can't even make this up. You can't even make it up. They got like a 17-year-old ginger to get sponsored by porn and beer for Dickies Race Team. Here's the thing. If you thought winglets, like winglets happened, and then Ducati added like the shark teeth and all this stuff, and the cat was out of the bag, Pandora's box was out of the bag, and now, despite whatever rules you make, they have these crazy wings. They have, like, you've seen Ducatis. They got the cutouts. It looks even more dangerous because it's like a trap that you could just fit an arm in before you fucking dislocate a shoulder. If you thought that Ducati's wings circa 2015, 2016, where the cat is out of the bag when it comes to wings, I'm telling you right now, everyone, listen up. British Superbike, sponsored by Pornhub, is the cat that's out of the bag. This is a Pandora's box. There's nothing you can do about it now, because Dorna can't turn down sponsorships, and it is only a matter of time before fucking Brazzers has a team and they're fucking motorhome has a black couch in the middle with a camcorder on it, and they're making fucking Simon Crayford do interviews on the casting couch. No one wants to see that, but we all kind of want to see it just for the sake of what the fuck is going
on. At least once.
Right. Either having a Thailand round and a Brazzers sponsored team, you don't even know what's going to happen.
I feel like we already put together Scott Redding's Brazzers sponsorship there with our YouTube video.
Right,
thumbnail.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, we're closing this one out. If you're listening on the podcast, check out YouTube. We're putting up other videos there. Like, share, and subscribe. If you're listening on YouTube, tell your friends. Come listen to BrotoGP. We're gonna keep doing these long podcasts. We've got till like April 8th or something before GP comes back. I'm pretty sure there's a World Superbike round in between. We may not record about them, but Rob is going to do another tech tape. Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, the winning name for the segment in which
Rob tech
answers
tape.
Is Rob's tech tape.
That
if you have
also wants a shirt for that, though. Fuck.
Does
you.
He?
Yeah, he's like, let me get a shirt, bro. I'm like, what the fuck ever? You wear an extra large because that's all we got. And Buster, my cat, slept in that box for the last 6 months. So if you wear an extra large and you're not allergic to cats, send me a message and I'll send it out.
Yeah, but the it's Buster. It's not George. So you can see the cat hair on the
yes,
black.
Yes, Buster
shirts.
Is buff color. He's orange. He's like a light colored buff, and you will see the cat hair. It's sprinkled magic.
There are these things called lint rollers. I have two cats. This shirt was covered in cat hair earlier today.
This shirt is currently covered in cat hair. So a couple of things, guys. Last week I made a mention that, like, you know, do we want to start a Facebook group? Because the algorithm changed and all of that, and I think it would be better.
What was the answer? What was the answer?
The overwhelming answer was yes, because we're all fucking degenerates. And my girl Jennifer from MotoGP Sillies was like, I'm pretty sure my mom saw that post where I said I was ready to be in like a gangbang with Zarco and Yanone. And now I'm horrified that she's seen my other posts, which is pretty fucking funny. But I get the idea Cambridge Analytica is apparently watching all of our posts at all fucking times. So maybe I need to make that group. So this week I am going to make the group. It's going to be public though, man. I can't moderate a group with a couple hundred people or a couple thousand people, whatever it is. But I will post up a Facebook group that'll be open. I'm still going to post my posts to the regular page. But let's continue the group. Let's continue the building this community. Let's continue the banter back and forth. And if y'all want to talk a lot of shit and comment more on Pornhub, because like, look, man, I post up a picture of a motorcycle with Pornhub on the side, and you're like sweating like crazy, like that meme with the kid that's sweating because he's like, you're like, I gotta post, but then you're gonna be like, what if my sister asked me what Pornhub is? Like, that's fucked. You know what I mean? What if my aunt sees that I know what a fucking Bukkake DP is because we've been talking about Andre Iannone and all that? Like, it's fucked. I see the conundrum, okay? This is like Sophie's Choice, son. Do I post the picture that I made of Ducati Rapunzel, or do I keep my, like, do I not want my people to know that I follow this project page because it's sick as fuck? So we're going to make the group. I'll moderate it. Rob will moderate it. And by moderating, I mean I'm just going to like all the posts that show fucking dicks. And right.
No.
Don't
dicks.
Do that.
No dicks.
No fucking cock pics.
But if you'd like to leave plenty of pictures of Jorge Lorenzo's helmet, which definitely has a penis on it, that is fine.
That motherfucker stole our 8-bit idea, bro.
He does have a helmet with some 8-bit on it. I mean, to be fair, we stole it from Nintendo.
We didn't steal it. That shit's an homage, son.
That's a good point. It's very different. Very different. But stick around with us. On YouTube, there is one thing that I've noticed in the analytics. The percentage of women that have watched our videos is 0.00%.
What's up, Jennifer?
So
she's the one girl that watches them.
So please tell your friends, tell your female friends, make BrotoGP popular, and we'll keep it going. All right, everyone. Take it easy. Peace. And we will catch you shortly with another YouTube video, probably soon.